Well, good morning, church. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and get your Bibles out. And in your bulletin is going to be some notes that we can follow along. We're going to talk for just a couple of minutes here today. I know it's summertime, and you guys are getting ready for the World Cup this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Not going to ask you who you're rooting for, but I think we've got Argentina and Spain, right? And if you're watching, as I will be at 3 o'clock, 1.3 billion people around the world going to be watching that game called football. So look forward to watching that. So we're in a year-long series, Questions That God Asks. God asks questions not because he doesn't know the answer. He asks questions because he wants you to know the answer. First question God ever asked was, Adam and Eve, where are you? They had sinned. They were hiding in the bushes. They had run away from God. And God asked the question, Adam and Eve, where are you? Now, how many knows that God knew where Adam and Eve was? He doesn't ask questions because he doesn't know the answer. He asks questions because he wants you to know the answer. And so we are looking, there's over 3,000 questions in the Bible. In the New Testament, Old Testament, questions that God asks, questions that Jesus asks. And today, Jesus asked a very, very powerful question, and here it is. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I ask you to do? Last week, I told you I used this scripture with my kids, four kids, four teenagers. Austin, Aaron, Amanda, and Allison, I'd use this question. Why do you call me Dad, Dad, and don't do what I tell you to do? Jesus asked the crowd, the disciples, why? On Sunday morning, you lift your voice and you lift your hands and you cry out, Lord, Lord, I love you. But when I ask you to do something, you don't do it. I think we're all guilty of not doing what God asks us to do. And he asked the question today, why? Why is that? So we started to unpack that a little bit. Last week, we had a couple points that I shared with you. The first reason why we don't obey is because sin is alive and well. It's alive and well in me. It's alive and well in you. It's alive and well in the world. And even in little children, sin is alive. I shared with you the story of my grandson, George. He was staying at my house, sleeping in my bed, breathing my air. He had two chips in his hands. We had 10 bags of chips. I would have bought 100 bags if he would have asked for chips, but we had plenty of chips. But I asked George, can you give G-Pops a chip? And George's response, like all of us here today, he looked at me and said, G-Paw, I just don't feel like doing that today. Yeah, no, this is the same little boy who woke me up that night, 4 o'clock in the morning, because they put him in our bedroom and a little portable crib. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, George wakes me up. G-Pops, I gotta pee. And all I ask him to do is give me a chip. He's unwilling to share a chip. Why? Because sin is alive and well. That's why we don't do what God tells us to do. Number two, we looked at last week that we have a misunderstanding of grace. We think, oh, it's not that big a deal. God will forgive me. I'm covered by grace. And so we have a misunderstanding of grace. And we need to understand that amazing grace is costly. It costs grace. And grace teaches us to say no to the things we want to do and say yes to righteousness. Number three, we're going to look at this today, this brand new truth. If you're with me, let me hear an amen. Number three, the reason why we call him Lord, Lord, and don't do what he says is because we are unaware of the scriptures. We're unaware of the power of God's word, and we don't allow God's word to truly change us. And so we're going to look at a couple of verses of scripture. My grandma, when I graduated from Edgewater High School in 1979, she gave me a Bible. And inside that Bible, she wrote a scripture in Psalm 119. And it says this, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. See, as believers, as disciples, as Christians, we have to hide God's word in our heart. And when we hide God's word in our heart, it helps us not to sin against God. And I can tell you, when Grandma George wrote that down in my Bible, man, that meant business. That scripture and that thought kept me on the straight and narrow. Because as a young man, I wanted to obey God, and I didn't know how to do it. But one of the ways that you learn obedience, one of the ways you learn to become a disciple, is to really take serious God's word. And when you hide God's word in your heart, that will help you to say yes when God asks you to do something that you don't want to do. How many of you are here today and God has ever asked you to do something that you don't want to do? Yeah. So instead of responding like my grandson George, oh, I just don't feel like doing that today. No, we hide God's word in our heart so that when God asks us to do the difficult things, we do them with joy. Can I get an amen? All right, look at your screen. These are in your notes, but I just want to see you. I want you to see a couple of great quotes, and then we're going to go back to this scripture, 2 Timothy. I want you to see a couple of great quotes that I have in your Bible. This is from John Calvin. He says this: "The Word of God is the school of the Holy Spirit. Those who neglect it are like blind men groping in the dark. They fall into every error and are tossed about by every wind of doctrine." John of Damascus called scripture, I love this, a beautiful garden, fragrant, sweet, and blooming with various sounds of spiritual and divinely inspired birds that capture our hearts and fill us with everlasting joy. John Wesley, I love this, famously cried out, "Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God," declaring the Bible as the fountain of all wisdom. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this: "I believe that the Bible alone is the answer to all of our questions, and that one must read it as though it is God speaking to us, and he loves us." Can I get an amen? All right, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to just give you a couple scriptures here. We're going to talk about the power of God's word, the power of scripture, hiding God's word in our heart that we may not sin against God. So we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Guys, if you put that on the screen, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, the very first scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It's in your notes. We'll get it on the screen here in a second. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. "All scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good word." Okay, there it is on the screen. Circle that word if you're taking notes and you got your notes there. Circle that word, all scripture. All scripture. Church, I'm glad that we are a church that believes that this book is God's book, and we believe in all the scriptures. Can I get an amen? We're not going to rip out the scriptures that we don't like. We're not going to rip out the scriptures that don't feel good. We're not going to rip out the scriptures that are not culturally relevant. We're not going to take a poll and vote on which scriptures we are going to obey and which scriptures we're going to ignore. That's not the kind of church that I want to be a part of. And we took a stand many, many years ago as a church, and it cost us dearly. To go with the belief that we're going to believe God's word. And when you and I believe God's word, this is more than just a book. This is more than just a black letters on white pages. This is God-breathed, and all scripture is God-breathed. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now circle that word there, God-breathed, just for a moment. We're going to camp out there. God breathed the words that are on your book, your Bible. He breathed those words, and they're God-breathed. That is very, very intentional. God created this book, and he used men, but he breathed through the power of the Holy Spirit the words that men wrote down to create this Bible. It is God-breathed. breed. Now, why is that important? If you'll remember in Genesis, we don't have time to go there, but in Genesis chapter 2, God did something to Adam and Eve that's very, very important. You know what he did? The Bible says he created them from clay, and then God did something really beautiful when he created man. At the very end, after he took them and created them, the Bible says he breathed life into them. And they became living souls. Without the breath of God, Adam and Eve would just be simple clay. But it was the breath of God that was breathed into them that created them, and they then became living souls. Now, in this scripture, 2 Timothy, it says that all scripture is God-breathed. Just as God breathed life into Adam and Eve, when you and I consume this word, it is God breathing life into us. Have you ever seen someone who needed CPR? What happens to a person who is facing a medical emergency and they are flat on their back and they have no life in them? CPR teaches the method and the technique of breathing into that person to resuscitate them. You may have never thought this before, but when you consume and read God's beautiful word, he is breathing his life into you. Just like he breathed into Adam and Eve. Are y'all with me? I know that's kind of odd, it's a little different. Maybe you've never heard that before. But do you know that in the New Testament, that Jesus, when he was sending out his disciples, do you know what Jesus did to his disciples in John chapter 20? He breathed upon his disciples to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means that when you and I take this word and we open it and we read it and we meditate on it, it is God breathing CPR into our lives. It's God breathing his word into our lives so that we can hide his word and not sin against him. See, when you open this book and you read this word, it is life transforming. It is God breathing his life and power into you so that you can be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? So all scripture, everyone say all. All scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and teaching in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Look at that word, useful. It's useful. God's word is life. God's word is breathed upon us. God's word is alive, and it is useful. Any problem that you are faced with, and by the way, how many of you are here today and you've ever had life has given you a problem? How many know that sometimes life is very complicated and real complex? A lot of nuances, especially when you're dealing with people and you're dealing with family. And people come in my office and they explain these complicated family dynamics and issues. And the whole time they're explaining the complicated situation that they are faced with, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, God, I know you have a word. I know your Bible is true. I know your word is useful, and it can apply to even the most complicated situations that we are faced with as men and women. And as they're talking, and they're getting in more detail and more complicated, I'm thinking to myself, God, give me a word. Not psychology, not some college-educated answer. I want you to give me a word that will be useful to help them out of this situation. And can I tell you, I've only been doing this for 43 years. I've never met a situation, I've never met a problem that God's word doesn't have an answer for. That's why David said, I'm going to hide your word in my heart. God, when I open your scripture, I'm asking you to breathe life into me. I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm confused, I'm afraid, I'm angry, I'm bitter. Would you please breathe your breath into my life through your word to help me to apply this word to any and every situation that I'm faced with? And I found it to be true. Can I get an amen? It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped in every good work. Look in your scripture just for a moment, real quick. We're gonna wrap this up in just a moment. Look in Acts chapter 17. I wanna show you this verse of scripture and help illustrate what I'm talking about here today. Acts chapter 17, verse 10. Look in your notes. And as soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. So Berea is a city. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. And they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Now, why do I use this verse of scripture? The Bereans were people who understood the power of God's word. They understood that God's word was God-breathed. They understood that God's word was important. And so they were checking it out every single day to see and to make sure that what Paul was teaching was true. That word there, Bereans, is an interesting word. It means well-watered. Well-watered. When you examine God's scripture, when you read God's scripture, when you allow God to breathe his life into you, you become a well-watered believer. How many know that in Florida, if you don't water your plants or we don't get rain, something happens to our delicate plants, don't they? Yeah, they get dry. They wilt. They wither. Watch this. When you read God's word and hide his word in your heart, you become well watered and healthy. I've got a plant here. This is just not a normal plant. This was a plant that was used at Michelle Taylor's celebration of life a few years ago. David knows that I was going to talk about this today. This plant sits next to my chair in my home office. When I sit down to read God's word, when I sit down to study, when I sit down to watch soccer, right next to my chair is this plant as a reminder to me. It's been many years, and I don't know that we'll ever recover from Michelle. What an incredible gift she was to this church. Incredible blessing to our church. And we miss her and we love her dearly. And I told David that day that I was going to take one of these plants home and I was going to put it right next to my chair. There's been a few times when I'm out of town and haven't been in my office and I've been out of town that plant has been sitting right next to the window, but it looks withered. Tired, dry. And the only reason is is because I haven't taken the time to do something real simple yet real profound. I haven't had time to put water in it. And when I go into my office and I see this beautiful plant blooming and green and vibrant and alive, it not only reminds me of Michelle, but reminds me of the importance, believers, to be like the Bereans, well-watered, seeing the need to every day have God breathe his life into us through his word. And I'm not mad at anybody today. I don't have an issue with one person in this church, but I'm concerned. And a lot of times, we don't look green and vibrant and alive. We're weary. We're weathered. We're dry. And we need the water and the power of the Holy Spirit and God's word to be breathed life into us so that we can be the vibrant, young, strong, vibrant Christians that God wants us to be. Maybe the reason you're depressed is because you haven't watered your plant. Maybe one of the reasons you're consumed with lust and being drawn to the internet to fulfill some of the desires that God has given you is maybe you just haven't had the CPR of the Holy Spirit to breathe life into you. See, when we allow God to breathe life into us like he did Adam and Eve and the disciples in the early church, something powerful happens. I can't explain it, but it's simple. You just allow the Holy Spirit to water you and breathe life into you, and you become beautiful examples of what it means to live a life when you and I are hiding God's word in our heart. Listen, Drew, come on up. I'm not trying to get you to read through the Bible. This is something much, much more deeper. Because you know what? You can read through the Bible and not apply one word that you've read. This is really about taking a scripture, a verse. I've got 10 points that I put in the notes. We're not going to go there today. But just taking God's word and applying it to your heart so that he can breathe his life into you. And you will become that well-watered plant that brings glory and honor to God. Would you stand up across the auditorium? We're gonna be out of here in just 2 minutes. All right, 5 minutes. This is what I'm asking God to do. I'm asking him to breathe life into us. That this week as we open his word, that CPR will happen, and that dry, brittle plant that's exhausted and tired and depressed and discouraged and confused will become beautiful, young, vibrant, powerful testimony of God's grace. I don't know how it happens, but I know it's not going to happen if we close our hearts and say, oh, this is kind of weird. Pastor Scott going off on a tangent again. No, Adam and Eve received life because God breathed into them. The disciples carried the gospel around the world because they had the power of the Holy Spirit breathed on them. The Bereans were well watered because they looked at the value of God's scripture. The reason we don't obey God is because we don't hide his word in our heart. And as believers, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to breathe CPR into us and breathe his word into us so that we can be alive.